rolling and everyone's fine. Matt, you can start rolling too.
I'm rolling, baby.
Oh, excellent.
Roll it, baby.
Welcome to the decision desk de France. I have 7 meds under the desk. If you are just tuning in, the village of Blackface de Mohammed has reported with 78% votes in, the Charlie Hebdo is leading. Jerry Lewis.
Election France. It's Chris Matthews. Hardball. Hardball with soccer balls. Here is Election France results come in. Looks like Macron's game be facing off against Le Pen. I guess Le Pen is truly not mightier than the Macron.
So, hello. It's your Chapo for this week. As you may have already heard, joining us, friend James Adomian.
How you doing?
Back again for more, James. Yeah. What's going on?
Yes, I'm back from the war.
Also, it's me, Will Menaker, along with
Virgil. Hey,
and Felix,
and
bonjour.
As you may have surmised, we're going to be breaking down the French election. That's what you tune into us for: analysis of other countries' politics, les politiques. But before then, we have a few other things to discuss, and I want to kick things off by asking Matt to relate his 420 experience. 420, as you may know, is a little holiday that happened this past week. And Matt, what happened to you, fam?
Well, I went and I guested with Brett and Brian. They had a street fight 420 drug comedy show in Columbus, and I was doing the dollop the next day in Detroit, so I just drove up to do their show the night before. And it actually was my first time doing drugs on 420.
Oh, okay.
That I know of, anyway, because I'm a dork. And I just, before the show, there were a bunch of people. We had like a meet and greet, and there were vapes and weed blunts and things like that. I just did a lot of them, and I think the thing with, like, the last couple times I used a vape, I was, the whole time, I was like, I don't think I'm getting enough. So I think I overcompensated this time, and I, like, basically just inhaled an entire, like, popcorn bag full of vape. First thing that happened is that I understood the nature of the universe, which is pretty cool. Like, I started talking about video games and why I think they're bad. And it led me to a revelation about the nature of existence as an energy flow, basically, and how, like, the morality of an action is basically predicated on whether it inhibits or engenders the flow of energy into feedback loops with other people.
You heard it here first,
folks. There are only two engenders.
So that was really cool, having that realization. I was like, damn, I just solved everything.
Matt Christman, living up to his namesake in Ohio, just revealing truth to the world.
Matt is now calling in from the spirit realm. He is a ball of pure energy.
This is what anti-gamers sound like, by the way. Yeah. Have fun in your fantasy world. I'll be astral projecting a white hot ball of energy at the center of the universe.
Well, the upside to this is we no longer have to use Skype to call you because you're astral projecting into the chat
just
right now.
Yeah, I can be anywhere at any time. It's really convenient.
You can be the Orko of Chapo Trap House that's always just kind of floating in frame.
Matt has a Cerebro, like Xavier and X-Men, but it's just all prestige TV. He can figure out what's going on in every prestige TV show in the world.
I watch all the shows at once.
Yeah. I'm watching Turkish Deadwood now.
So that was cool, and I was excited about it, and I was like, this show's going to be great. But then we got to the venue and it just hit me like a fucking, just a sledgehammer in the forehead. Just all of a sudden I could not keep my eyes open. And the stage, it wasn't really a stage. It was just a room and a bar. And one end had the microphones in it. And there, everything else was just seats and stuff. And there was nowhere for me to sit. And I was just, I could not stay. I couldn't stand. I couldn't keep my eyes open. So I was just like, God, that looks so nice there in the corner. Oh, my God. My phone is being plugged in over there. I know. I can go lie down and, like, make it look like I'm, like, checking my phone. In reality, I'm closing my eyes and getting some sleep. And so I was there for a few minutes, and then Brian and Brett came up, and they started the show, and they thought that it was nice. I was, like, a nice,
prop,
basically, piece of sec decoration for them on the 420 show to have a guy who's basically unconscious behind them. due to drugs. So that was – so then – but then they did their bit. They did their all the really good comedy, and then I popped up for like my last sort of 30-minute interaction with them, and it really helped. That nap just made me sharp, man. It was good.
So if any of you
– I might do that from now on. Just heads up to you guys next live show.
Matt, you are a meme now, I believe.
Yeah, that was the coolest part is that – someone took a picture of me sort of propped up in the corner looking
like a laundry bag. Yeah.
And I've been turned into down several to me. Pretty boss memes, including the Pieta, which I think is the most the one I thought of when I saw the picture for the first time. I was just like, where's the Madonna holding me? Someone did it.
My favorite one that I saw is that someone put you into the Kent State photo with that woman screaming over you.
I like the one
was good too.
I like the one where you're in Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, I'm Captain Miller going, earn this. Yeah, so all I ever really wanted was to be a meme, and now it's happened.
Best meme since Sad Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also understand the universe now, because it's all about like basically managing energy towards a state of eventual dissipation.
Matt is
You know, the heat death of the universe, basically, and how that mirrors sort of the Marxist end state of history.
You, congratulations, you've discovered entropy.
He discovered the back of a Dr. Bronner's soap label.
A Dr. Bronner's soap label. All one is an organic reason excuse for me to do Dr. Bronner. All one for one. Jesus, Churchill, all one, all prophets together, Gandhi. All coming together, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million. Various accumulations of millions.
Oh, man. Yeah, that spiel on the back of Dr. Bronner's soap, that's my 14 words, and I know all of them.
You know, that's actually – that's taken entirely from the Quran.
Anyway, congratulations to Matt for figuring out the universe and proving once and for all that marijuana is dangerous and can kill you and should be illegal.
Should be illegal.
Let's get this outlawed, baby.
Let's do it. A few other things, though.
I want Jeff Sessions to find out about this story. Hey, he was just laying down there in the middle of a live show. He was just one of these socialist liberals laying down there in a live show. Just laid right down there on the damn floor. You gonna tell me that ain't dangerous? Somebody could have stepped on him. Jim Sessions. Laid down like a duck in a pond.
He gonna die like a dog in the street. The other thing, one thing I wanted to bring up, the other not cool thing that happened this week, other than 420, the demon weed holiday, is okay. So this week, this book just came out called Shattered, that is one of these like behind the scenes, you know, hot gossip tell all books about the doomed Hillary Clinton presidential campaign of this past year, and it's just
in the prestigious tradition of a Kitty Kelly tell all.
Yeah, exactly. And this has, like, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff about, you know, their spectacular hubris and incompetence, and just generally how unpleasant Hillary Clinton is to literally everyone.
And favorite moment. The fact that she would just snap her fingers and say gum to Huma.
Yeah.
That's like a cartoon gum. Thing. That's gum. Like a bad guy in a cartoon would do that.
But in response to that...
Gum.
There's been a lot of people who, of course, are very offended by this, and they're just like, why are we still telling a woman everything that she did was wrong or whatever? And it's just, well, it's like, yeah, because Donald Trump's president.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you told us you had to do this because you were the only one that could do it. And you literally did everything wrong that you could do wrong. And also you are the villain from part three of Roots. What?
But just
leave it in.
One thing in particular that I want to bring up is this nauseating like mega Twitter thread that happened from this guy Nick Merrill is his name, and he's a former Hillary campaign like staffer, like communications guy or something like that, and he's been doing this thing all week where he's just been posting photos of Hillary Clinton on the campaign with her sort of like rictus smile, like laughing and backslapping with all of her, you know, on the plane, on the bus, with voters. And like, Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, human.
and yeah, pictures like that, and then like with a caption being like, "What's that about staff infighting?" Oh, here's a photo of more staff infighting, and it's like her laughing and smiling.
And put every picture that she was like, "Ah, the collateral murder video is hilarious."
But this is so weird and funny that like this guy feels the need to do it. But it just, again, it speaks to the thing, Matt, I think you've spoken about before, this weird liberal thing where like they don't understand like the concept of that photography is just,
yeah, they don't get photographs. Because Ann Joan Walsh amazingly taking a still frame from the image of cops rushing to arrest a protester, a Black Lives Matter protester in Baton Rouge, and she says she froze them. She was so gorgeously powerful that she just froze them with her elegance. It's like, no, it's a photograph, Joan. They kept moving after the image was taken. It's like, oh, look at all these people. It's like, that's not a random shot from space. Someone was behind the camera and they knew that. They knew that photographs were being taken.
But like, to that point, like what's so galling about this is what he's doing is just posting all these photos from the campaign that were taken specifically to portray. These aren't candid.
Yes!
They're taken by professional photographers hired by the campaign.
He posts a picture of the guy jumping out of the tower on 9/11, and he's like, oh, yeah, this guy's really falling to his death right now, huh? He's actually flying.
Oh, God. No, look, Stalin's sitting there alone. Those other guys were never there.
But, yeah, like, this is just, not to, again, not to belabor the point or do violence to women further, but like again, it's just this weird psychological thing where it's like I thought it was bad during and right after the election, but like these Hillary people have gotten so much worse.
Yeah. It's getting worse every day. They're getting more and more insane. They're more conspiratorial. They're farther along in self-imposed paranoid delusion.
Matt, that sounds like someone has compromat on you.
They're way farther along that trajectory. It took them years to get this diluted among the Republicans.
Ostensibly, the photos are supposed to prove that there was no infighting, which is just a baffling and like false on face value claim. We have the fucking emails. Like these are some of the most backbiting, fucking ice chewing people in the world.
As bad as the Marco people,
and they're all. What's really galling for me is they're all proud of this experience. They're all so happy about it. Like this was like a summer camp to them. They're all patting each other on the back. Like we did it. We won the popular vote.
Well, yeah, that's. And if you go to any of their pages, like Robbie Mook famously didn't tweet for about, 2 months after he fucking blew it. But the only thing he tweets now are like more active measures found, because the only way that they can show
psychologically cope with it,
yeah,
is to say that it was some supernatural intervention. Well, there's a program that's electromagnetically swaying the earth to be to change the outcome of election.
It's called the frickin' Kremlin.
The way that they look at it, I mean, one of the most repulsive things about these people before this was the way that they spoke about Obama and Hillary, where it was like, "Thank you for your service." And it goes back to this larger thing that we talked about during the West Wing episode of how they think of power as sort of justifying a person's personality as reifying the strength of their character. But for them, the fact that they worked for them in these positions where the only reason you would do it is because you were a power-hungry, backbiting fucking psycho and you wanted to get a seven-figure consulting job later.
In any decent society, all of Hillary's top lieutenants would have committed Harry Caray after the election on the inaugural platform.
Throughout history and across lots of different cultures, we value people who go, you know what? That was my fault.
Right.
Why has that not happened once?
Whoops.
Because admitting any fault would be...
I'll tell you why. Here's my theory, and then why this Nick Merrill guy, among others, is like...
Because there's nothing wrong with this. Yeah.
Posting all these happy pictures. Because one of the other like details that came out in this Shattered book is apparently right after the election, sort of as their way of figuring out what went wrong, apparently Hillary was like, I want access to everyone's emails, and I'm going to score everyone on some sort of weird loyalty code... Or sort of like loyalty bracket,
yes,
or something like that.
1 to 7. Yeah, 1 to 7.
So I think they're all scared.
Yeah, he'll
guys, she has no more power. Into the Wizard of Oz. You can go hail Dorothy now.
Yeah. What the fuck is she gonna do? Wobble into your house and shoot fucking brain cancer at you? Or whatever, faint on you, vomit, pierce your
look,
ears.
You guys you guys are all like, oh, the Clintons are done for. We can shit on them all we want. And guess what happens? Hillary gets Chelsea the cover of Vanity Fair a few more times, and then they do the procedure from Get Out on her and put Hillary's brain in Chelsea's body, and then she runs for president, and she fucking smites everyone who said a bad thing about her.
I may not be in a cave, but I'm descending into the dark place.
I have this on my phone, actually. This is reminds me of a lead from a story in Harper's from a few weeks ago. I'm sorry, I don't know what the byline is, but I want to read this to you.
Harper's Bazaar.
It is bizarre, and I find this hilarious. Listen, ask anyone who is present at Hillary Clinton's presumptive victory celebration on November 8th, and they will tell you of the stunned silence broken only by sobs that settled across the vast glass enclosure of the Javits Center in Manhattan. Upstairs, in the suite where the candidate was closeted with her family and associates, the trauma was even more intense.
She was great. Run that shit back. She was closeted.
I think they should have said cloistered there. But. Yeah. As one attendee later reported to me, it featured the, quote, full range of human emotions, screams, shock, fainting. Bill moved immediately to blame. The former president, I was told, singled out campaign manager Robbie Mook. We should have fired that asshole months ago. It was awful.
That
rules, actually.
Yeah, that's the only good thing that ever happened with that campaign.
That was the first human emotion to come out of that campaign.
I do like how they said the full range of human emotions, and it was like
anger,
yelling, crying.
Yeah.
You know, all the good ones.
If I had seen that, just Bill Clinton or Hillary just scream at Robbie Mook, fuck that fucking asshole, we should have fired him months ago. Yeah, I would have been more enthusiastic about the campaign.
You know, no need to dwell too much longer on the election postmortem. But moving on now, I want to talk about another story that was in the news this week that is, you know, tailor-made for us. We already did sort of a bit about it, but we haven't actually talked about it on the show. And, of course, I'm referring to the Alex Jones family court saga. Like, in the midst of this, he is now, being sued for custody or trying to get his kids back from his wife. Do you guys know what's going on with that?
Well, what's happening is the Illuminati is closing in on the Jones Ranch.
But the thing that everyone picked up on, there's a couple things that, like, his lawyers seem to imply that nothing he said or did as part of his television or radio show could be used against him because he is doing performance art or he's playing a character.
What's the problem with that? I first met Andy Warhol when I was a young street hustler in New York City, and I was vouched for by Keith Haring, and Keith was one of my most influential heroes. And Andy said, you know what, you should do something really dangerous and go into deep character. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, become Mephistopheles himself for a long time. And we lost Andy, and then we lost Keith Haring, and that was it really hurt me, and I was never able to get out of character after that. I went to backpack to Texas, and as any artist happens to any good artist, your work is misunderstood. Your work can be misunderstood by those that it's intended to influence. And all I've ever tried to do is discredit the absolute hatred that is in my voice at all times.
Little known fact, Alex Jones was part of the factory.
Yeah.
I remember hanging upside down from a beach ball for days at a time as I would be pegged by various members of the Velvet Underground.
Alex Jones actually did one of the first things he ever did was the globalist scum manifesto. But another tidbit to come out of this thing is that he was pleading with the media to be respectful of him and his family, which I would sympathize with if it was literally anybody else alive, other than the guy who said the Sandy Hook children weren't real.
You want to come for my family? You want to come for my family? You Illuminati scum! We're running for you. You globalists! You sniveling globalists! I'm gonna rip my underwear in half. I'm just ripping my underwear in half with my buttock power. Look how fucking close I come to saying something anti-Semitic, and yet I stop myself.
We found out in that trial what Alex Jones's Achilles heel is, and that's chili.
Mental acuity.
Achilles heel. Let's put it that way.
James, did you know about the chili thing?
Of course. Yeah. Not only did I know about the chili, we're talking about chili where you've asked the cook to do his best. Put something extra spicy in there, Texas style chili. Look, if you've ever heard my voice, it sounds like I have chili with cigarettes in it every day. And I do. Tobacco spiced chili. That I smoke.
For anyone not familiar, I think he said on the stand that he couldn't remember certain, like, the ages of his kids because he had a bowl of chili for lunch that day. That was it was powerful. It was powerful stuff.
Well, lawyers always ask you that gotcha question, like how old your kids are.
Well, as a performance what their names artist, are. When I've entered a courtroom, I understand that I am in the final act of the film, and so it will be reenacted at some point by future artists reinterpreting our work. And so I'm on stage. When I'm in court, I am on stage. And there has been an audience that has paid $30 to crawl through a crawl space to get to the performance room.
So, yeah, Alex Jones Family Court, the story we probably made happen.
Yeah, it's just another one of those things. As we bend the world, but never for the better.
Oh, one last thing. The other really funny thing to come out of this is that he said he smokes weed once a year just to test its potency.
And it's way too strong.
And he said it's gotten way too strong and it's because of George Soros.
God damn it, is it his fault that I passed out at the show?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
That fucker.
Goes all the way to the top, George Soros. You may not know it, but that's where it's coming. The money's coming from. The money that's being infused into Eureka, California at the marijuana farms that they have up there. Big Monsanto-style marijuana farms funded by George Soros. Rex 84.
I'm off that Soros. I'm floating in a Maybach.
Feeling like Fogel. Soros in the blunt. Going into Subway. I'm on the hunt. Globalist money. MMG.
Yo, got the backwoods fill of that Soros. But how funny is that, though? He's the weed tester. He's like, I got to know. It's for my kids. I need to know what kind of marijuana they're smoking and if it's too powerful.
Once a year, that's like some asshole professor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to completely walk away from my youth. Once a year, my friend, on the 1st of August.
He talked about, they asked him about his Joe Rogan appearances where every episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, it's my favorite show, by the way, because Joe Rogan stopped doing the UFC every single event. He only does, like, big events now because he's like, I just need to spend more time with my family. But, like, five times a week he does a show where him and his friends just smoke drugs in his garage and scream about UFOs for 5 hours.
That's his family.
Yeah. He's spending, like, 40 hours a week on this. And, like, of course, the Alex Jones episode was great. Like, they got wasted. Alex, you know, took his shirt off as he does. And they, you know, the wife's lawyers were like, this is insane. Like, no one should be doing this.
And I'm not so worried about this trial, but it could set a bad precedent if Alex Jones loses custody of Paul Joseph Watson.
Imagine my surprise when the tolerant left forced my weekends with father to be supervised.
I'm in search of my new father now. Shut the fuck up.
That.
You're not my father. Shut the fuck up.
I'm moving in with my stepdad, Sargon of Akkad. Just, I want to make clear. Family court is no laughing matter.
No, it's not.
You know, there are kids involved here. Just because it's Alex Jones doesn't mean that we're just ringing it for cheap comedy material.
Hi, it's me, Sally Jones. I'm 12 years old.
Oh, Alex Jones is...
Alex Jones' 12-year-old daughter, Sally Jones.
He should start a Twitter account for his kids like Bana. Yeah, just be like, President Trump, please help my father. So we alluded to it at the top of the show, but I think... the big topic, of course, and this is breaking news, is the French election, 2017.
Breaking news, you're seeing across the ticker on the bottom of the screen right now. Breaking news, France has won the election.
Guys, before we do this segment, me and Virgil, we both have to go to the bathroom. We have to go to the bathroom together.
There's two toilets next to each other, so it's cool.
It's the only way we can piss and shit, so...
okay. Yeah. We'll say goodbye to Felix and Virgil. Bye. Right, bye. Enjoy your bathroom trip. They're holding hands right now. It's so sweet. Joining us again is our French election specialist, Carl Digler.
Digler. I'm not like my American cousin who is a fat oaf. I am French. I'm cool. Instead of ogling feet on Twitter. I do it in real life. I am in custody of my boy Cody, and I'll do what every French man does, which is get naked and have arguments with my father every day.
So
I am the most respected Paris insider.
And your fellow the data guy, the real the numbers guy, Virgil Texi?
Virgil Texi is my petit frère. Yeah. Hey, Virgil, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Carl.
Today I was walking on through the subway. And dangerous.
The metro.
I remember hating you for loving me when I was riding in the metro.
Oh my god! Oh my god! It's Chris Matthews.
Yes, Berlin, one of my favorite bands.
Chris, on my trip over here, I see an Algerian in the subway. Dangerous and unacceptable. Zut alors.
I thought Battle of Algiers was one of the most fantastic movies right up until the end.
Hopefully there'll be a sequel to that movie, because the breaking news is that the election is going to be held in 14 days, and it's going to be between...
14 days for 14 words.
It's going to be between Macron and Le Pen. So that is the sort of the investment banker versus the Nazi.
Wow, that's going to be a fantastic horse race. It's going to come down to the wire. Hopefully the press has been building up the Nazi like we did in this country for a long time.
Well, they were, but the thing is, they were building up Le Pen and saying, you know, she's not that bad. Because they were afraid Mélenchon was going to be in the second round. And they were all basically mentally preparing themselves for the inevitable thing where they all backed Le Pen. Because when liberals are forced with a choice between fascism and a serious leftist challenge, they will pick fascism every time.
That's true. You always have to crush the left first and strongest, and then hope you beat the right.
You have not seen l'harassment I have received from Mélenchon frères. They say, perform in my hole, papa.
And as far as the American coverage of it, I don't know if this is representative, but BuzzFeed, shout out to BuzzFeed, probably our favorite news source. We hope to someday really collaborate with them. They had a headline that said, how Marine Le Pen went from the daughter of a racist to the mother of a nation.
Who your father is, who your father is does not determine who you are. My father, he always has his pants off and his dick out when we argue, but I have my shirt off, and that is why we are different men. I drink red wine, and I scream at my mistress. He drinks white wine and does the same.
Do you have to have your shirt off?
Yes, this is how the French argue. We all like to be naked all the time when we are older than 40 and become 100 pounds overweight.
These guys are already ripping up the cobblestones. You can see it in Paris.
But back to the election, we have big endorsements on both sides. Macron? He was endorsed by a drawing of Muhammad as a blackface gay. But Le Pen was endorsed by Jerry Lewis, the most respected man in France.
I don't think that's true.
Le Pen's favorite movie is The Clown Who Cried.
Oh, that movie is such a good moral. If the Holocaust is happening to you, all you can do is laugh. if you can't collaborate. No one in France, none of our ancestors collaborated for somehow. Somehow all of our parents were in the resistance.
For me, it never gets better than triplets at Belleville. I wonder how hard it was to bicycle up that hill.
Macron versus Le Pen is a perfect synthesis. They basically voted, the majority of people in France today voted for that drawing of Muhammad sucking a dick, but the dick is labeled le déficit.
Yeah, the déficit is, you know, we laugh and joke a lot, but the déficit is the biggest problem. And the best way that you fight a fascist, France has defeated every fascist that it is confronted. The best way you do is let them win the first round. That's what we always do.
Le déficit is the biggest issue.
Le déficit is la raison why my wife has absconded to Morocco with Jeb Depardieu, this scoundrel. She said, how can I raise Cody in an environment where even our leaders are irresponsible?
One thing I want to actually bring up about Macron, who is elections in 14 days, and he currently has a 30-point lead in the polls. So true to form, he's going to blow that in the next 2 weeks, and probably Le Pen is going to win. That's my prediction.
It would be fun to like swap out the Clinton campaign and see if they could win.
I talked to him the other week, and he said, I may not be Jerry Lewis, but when you see me on screen, you will think I am a medical moron.
One thing I want to bring up about Macron, you probably know this. This is the best bit of trivia about him. Is that he married his boarding school teacher, who was I think 20 years older than him, and they met when he was 15. And it says here, so he used to be his French teacher at a private high school, and I'm like,
wait a minute, I don't understand. Why would he need a French teacher?
I think that's just like taking English classes, and that's when you read.
I know, I was kidding.
You read Celine, and that's it. His wife here says she told the magazine, speaking of this, at the age of 17. Emmanuel said to me, whatever you do, I will marry you. He followed through.
Alpha male.
He's like the French Daniel Day-Lewis in Last of the Mohicans. I will find you. I will marry you.
I want to find those waterfalls and make it like my Disneyland.
Yeah, that's the best soundtrack ever. Yeah, that shit bangs.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish you could put that on. But so
put that on and have wine sex.
Yeah, wine sex.
Right. That involves like we're good people. We have instrumental soundtrack only.
I only fuck to instrumental Young Chop beats.
I mean, obviously, what we were really hoping for was, of course, the real left against the right, which should have been Mélenchon against Le Pen. And then we could have had the fascist versus the actual left. And as Matt alluded to earlier, there was like all these rumblings leading up to this. Can this really happen? Is it going to be Mélenchon and Le Pen? And I remember seeing The Economist had a headline that was like, if this happens, I don't know what we'll do. And it's just like, yeah, you do. You'll back the fascist. You know exactly what you're going to do.
That's what they were doing. They were preparing the ground for that. And now they're all like, we can embrace the neoliberal shithead with totally clear consciences. And then he can spend 4 years continuing the same awful policies that Hollande has done. And then she can win in 4 years. It'll be great.
I think you have to respect the office of Hollande. You know, let's watch out for our discourse here, okay?
Francois, can I say, I know he's not a popular person anymore, but Francois Hollande, the entire time he's been in office, to me has always looked like he, every time I've seen him, has looked like he just came from a beautiful dinner and had. He looks like he's full of the best food. He's like patting his stomach. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Now there's work to be done, I suppose.
Well, actually,
he was like a long time relationship with another socialist politician, Ségolène Royal. They had kids together. They never got married, and she actually was the socialist candidate before him who lost to Sarkozy. And then he won, and then they broke up because he found someone younger. He was cheating on her they found out because he was like riding his bike to go hook up with her.
I think when they have French elections, they should ask before
the actual vote. Like, during the debate process, they should have a question where it's like, instead of, what is your plan for the country? They should be like, and what is your plan for your mistress that we'll find out about in 6 months? Will it be rancorous, or will you have an arrangement?
But, you know, in reading about the French election and, like, some of the policies that are being proposed by this you know, sort of the spectrum of candidates they have there, one of the things is who would expand their 32-hour work week to 35, and who would cut it to 30. So think about if that was, like, an issue in America. And people are laughing at this, and I'm like, that's fucking great. Like, imagine having a 32-hour work week, and that was, like, that was an issue in a presidential election, is do we add...
I gotta say, that sounds terrible.
Do we add or subtract 1 or 2 hours?
Carl believes it should be 80 hour.
80 hour. I love my job. I love going into the office. I work very hard. I come in at 11 a.m. Southern man? Yeah. I'm from Southern France.
he comes in no shirt.
I come in no shirt, and I argue with my editor, who I pretend he's my father. We scream at each other. Then I take a nap after 2 hours of screaming. Then I receive disgusting blowjob. I get drunk. I fill a condom full of heroin. I swallow it, and then I take the train, and by the time I get past the train, get past the security guard who check for Algerian, I go home, I shit it out, I shoot it into my arm, and I write scathing hit piece on them Mélenchon bros.
One quick thing about Mélenchon is I saw this quote from him this week.
Le frère Mélenchon.
Here's a reason to hate Mélenchon. This is an actual quote from him. Speaking of America and Americans, he says, "Yankees represent everything I detest."
He calls us Yankees.
Yeah.
like Foghorn Leghorn?
"Yankees represent everything I detest. A pretentious and arrogant empire composed of uncultured rubes and pitiable cooks."
That is the opposite of France. We have great cooks.
What a screwball.
Yeah, that guy is slightly to the left of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to thank...
I think that the cooks are serviceable. I take objection with Mr. Mélenchon's description of American kitchens. Hey. In my view, I think that the 32-hour work week is just about fine. I think I would keep it about there.
Such bad food and so little of it.
My diet consists entirely of oatmeal and raw data.
I'd like to thank...
Incidentally, when it comes to the infighting with the Hillary Clinton campaign, I would be remiss if I were not to confess that there was a certain modicum of disagreement in the Bernie Sanders campaign as well. There was a terrible, terrible rift one night over the rules of Settlers of Catan. We were trying to play on the campaign Volvo. We couldn't afford a campaign bus. We had a campaign Volvo, and we were playing Settlers of Catan in the back. And one of my staffers said we shouldn't have any elements of, you know, genocide in a friendly house rules version of Settlers of Catan. And I said the printed rules should be interpreted the way that they are. And we had a terrible argument. We didn't talk for about 5 minutes.
I can't wait till those emails leak.
Well, none of it was an email. No, we were DMing each other.
Anyway, so I would like to thank our special French election analyst, Carl Digler.
Have a great week, mon frères.
And Virgo Taxismo.
Are you hiring?
Come with me. You do not work for American Yankee Oaf. You have to give me a bath now.
And Chris Matthews, you know, I got lost in the Louvre one time, and then I found myself, you know, I took the elevator up the pyramid, and I started banging on the inside of it, let me out.
That is a metaphor for being married in France.
And now I'm thinking Chris Matthews discovering the secrets of the Mona Lisa and the Last Supper. And the
secret of the Mona Lisa is she's got sharp political instincts.
Hey, we're back from the bathroom.
How was the bathroom trip, guys?
I didn't get a lot done. What about you?
I mean, it's like 20% of what I'm going to do today.
Now, moving on from the French election to other political news overseas, I saw this story this morning, and it moved me. I'm just going to read the headline here. A UKIP candidate has announced she's sexually attracted to gorillas. This is a topic we discussed. You know, gorillas have come up before on the show.
Someone should set her up with Mike Cernovich.
That's the thing, yeah. Be it Harambe or Cernovich. Yeah.
America's leading mindset expert. Mm-hmm. The only man who can replicate the thinking powers of a great ape.
And as funny as that headline is, believe
I'm
me...
I'm being harassed! I'm being harassed by mob!
As funny as that headline is, the actual story itself is even better. So I'm just going to read from it here. On Friday, UKIP local election candidate in Glasgow, Gisella Allen, made the news for an article she'd written for the Clydebank Post. The article captured attention for phrases such as predicting World War III and a plan to abolish golf courses. Apparently,
all right, let's listen to her.
Yeah.
My ears are perked up already. Hugo Chavez banned golf courses, so she's on the right track.
He banned golf courses?
Or, yeah, he national.
They tried to confiscate them and turn them into housing. It ruled.
That is literally a George Carlin joke, and Hugo yes. Chavez made it into policy.
Someone handed him a DVD at some point yeah. of George Carlin. Right before he died, he was trying to figure out why am I in the plane when I'm on the plane?
He says, apparently not content with this. Apparently not content with this, Allen chose to explain her views on homosexuality in an interview with the Sunday Herald. According to the interview, Allen stated that gorillas, quote, make her hormones go crazy. Allen said that as she kept this fact to herself, or at least used to, so why should gay, bisexual, or lesbian people talk about their sex life? Quote, I am not anti-gay, but how can you call that a community? Sex life is everybody's private affair. You did not come out and declare openly. Do you think I'm going all over the city saying my idea of sexually attractive creature is a gorilla? When I go to the zoo and I see a gorilla, my hormones go absolutely crazy. I find a gorilla very attractive. So she's like, yeah, I'm not going about a town saying
look,
this.
If I don't get the fuck a gorilla, you don't get the fuck a guy, all right?
That's right. Scottish. On top of it all, she sounds like Flintheart Glomgold from DuckTales.
Isn't that, that's every social conservative, though. It's like,
I'll fuck a gorilla, Scroogey.
There's so many horrifying, disgusting things that I want to do. And if I don't get to do them in public, you don't get to do your thing. Sorry about that.
The wee little silverbackies.
Has anyone told her about their dick size?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They only
have
4-inch
the smallest
dicks.
Penises in the primate world?
No, they have the. I think they have
Is
the biggest disparity between body size and penis size of any animal.
That's all right. I've got a really small vagina. So tiny.
She's
it's
more attractive.
Perfect.
The upper body strength and the you know, the arms and the chest.
We could cuddle. It's fine. You don't have to do it. You can just cuddle me.
The perfect man has a 3-to-1 shoulder to waist ratio, and his dick barely passes the labia.
It goes along in the article. Gisella says here, yes, I find gorillas very attractive. It's an odd thing. I don't usually talk about it openly, but they make my hormones go crazy, along with podcast host Felix Biederman, who also does it for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm the closest. I have a very ape-like energy. But ladies, there's one thing that I'm not like a gorilla in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's just say I'm gifted in my ability to chew and digest meat as opposed to a gorilla, which is a herbivore. And I am not.
Something that correct me if I'm wrong. It sounded like the way she got to I want to fuck gorillas is starting out by she started out trying to own people who were pro gay.
Yeah.
So that should be a lesson. Like, you never take owning someone so far that you've backed yourself into a gorilla fucking corner.
She's like a homo.
Well, I mean, that's the Santorum rule, right?
Yeah, this,
like,
this
he
is
was the guy who's talking about how it was related to dog fucking.
This is how Western social conservatives do suicide bombing.
They blow themselves up with a hot take?
Yeah, but they won't actually kill themselves to stop gay people, but they'll sacrifice themselves by being like, well, yeah, I want my dad to dress up like a cartoon character, and I want to suck his dick, But do I talk about it, except for now?
Well, the final act of the Alex Jones saga, I will not be happy until I am paraded before a hostile mob, just like Braveheart. I want to reenact Braveheart in downtown Central Austin, Texas, right on 6th Street, outside of the Alamo Draft House, and just lock eyes with a young girl in the crowd and go with a look in my expression that says, too late, and I'm going to shout, freedom! As I'm tortured to death with barbecue sauce, fit with my intestines are pulled out and filled with chili.
Oh man, yeah, taking me back to that classic ending of Braveheart, where once again Mel Gibson endures inhuman levels of torture and agony, but like maintains his emotional control throughout all of it.
America's leading...
Scotland's leading revolution expert. Yeah.
This is called a Highlander lion mindset. So you can maximize your frontal cortex to take on the king.
You know, I blame those road warriors for running over his legs all those times.
Yep. Okay, before we go, I think we would be remiss that we have James in the room and not bring up just a little bit. Just a little bit of Gorka. Just a little bit of the Gork.
I think James, he's an interesting public figure.
Helicopter sound effect?
Does anybody else hear a helicopter?
With the Chapo! Chapo, 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 Chapo. They're all here.
Well, well, well. Bring me my Tinker Tailor Soldier Chapo file. I think I'd like to talk to the boys in person.
Gorka is currently yelling at us from a megaphone, rappelling out of a helicopter.
You know, Mr. Chapo, you and I are not so much different. You're a man of the world. You understand that we are those who push the chess pieces.
Well, Gorka, speaking of chess pieces, you know, Matt...
I hesitate to ask your ethnic heritage, but I respect your Magyar mind.
Sebastian, Matt brought this up in terms of chess pieces. Post your last appearance on the show, you stay in the news, and this time it said that... you drew up plans to partition Libya on a napkin and showed it to a journalist?
Well, of course I did. Tripoli, Tripoli, the three-sided city. The walled jewel of North Africa. Those whose destiny is to create destiny. We must be able to draw history upon a napkin at a whim. And if it's a brown napkin, we must carry a red pen with us. What they didn't tell you was that it was a 30% recycled material in the napkin, Mr. Jaffa. And so I shall recycle the kingdom of Libya. Cartago Delende est. Mr. Chapo. Our rapport is such that I've grown fond of it. Can't you tell that I have hesitated all these months? These long weeks I've hesitated when I could have destroyed you, you understand? I've shown you mercy, and yet you continue to mock me. Don't you understand that I've held back, not unlike the tanks at Dunkirk, waiting for you to come to your senses? Why must we fight? Together we can destroy. There is a horseshoe theory, Mr. Chapo. Perhaps the horseshoe should be turned around to those who've thrown it at us. I only offer this because there soon will be a time, Mr. Chapo, when these decisions will be too late. You see, I do have access to the White House for the time being, and Mr. Kushner is making his moves as predicted. But of course, I am rarely taken to leaving the White House in recent days. And you might wake up to find one middle of the night very, very, very soon where perhaps I never will leave the White House. Look to your history, Mr. Chapo, and do a close reading of Alexander Haig, for I am in charge here, Mr. Chapo.
Oh man. So can we have part of Libya?
Yeah.
Why, of course. What? I like it when you bargain. Like Lex Luthor coming to his senses and asking for Australia. Indeed, Mr. Chapo. A third of the Libyan province.
Commander Gorka, you will not be disappointed. We're going to look after it. We're going to feed it every day. This is ours. We're going to show you we're grown-ups.
I think I might have to rescind my offer because I was only ceding it to you with the unspoken understanding that a genocide would occur.
Okay, we're going to kill all the Berbers. I'm sorry.
Cartago de Linnaeus! Let me do a wrap-up of your topics. I was listening from the chopper, and I'd just like to weigh in on what they were.
What's your take on the French election?
The French election. Well, I was, of course, I was supporting the moderate, centrist Marine Le Pen, and I think it's time that we beat back an attack from the radical left represented by Macron.
What do you think about
this is a matter for the continental ones like us. The Americans might not understand it, you see.
What do you make of Macron's wife being his former French teacher?
I've had many relationships with my instructors and pupils myself. As a medical doctor of science, let me tell you that the bond between a protege and his special one is one of the strongest bonds known on the entire Danube River. Will you waltz with me, Mr. Chapo? Let's not have this infighting. Let us not descend into this Clintonian madness. I shall outlaw all political dynasties. Surely you agree with me on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Mr. Chapo, let's reason here. We're in the opening moves. Soon we'll enter the middle game of the chess match. And I've always been an improvised player, but it seems like you're moving rather predictably, and I would invite you to view the pieces not as representatives of your political will or fortunes, but actually the pieces themselves as the destiny of the earth. And we, the movers...
Where do you stand on fucking gorillas?
Well, yes, I wanted to weigh in on that too. I myself have fucked a gorilla, but I... they're best used for blowjobs. Again, because of the upper body strength.
What do you think of Matt's 420 experience in theory of energy?
Soon, those of you who are weak enough to expose yourselves to these drugs outside of the chambers of a secret society will suffer the consequences. I believe that you should be able to partake of the decadence beyond the moral bounds of modern society. The Order of Saint Vitesse, we've been known for a number of filthy, filthy, violin-filled sex acts. And when my offer to Mr. Chapo stands, understand that there may be a lost limb. You may lose one of your number, but you shall gain a 1,000-year reign. Chapo shall reign 1,000 years at the side of the throne of Attila.
Well, cheers to our 1,000-year reign.
Yeah, very
cheers
humbled to the throne right now. Thank you.
Consider
so
yourselves Dunkirk. The tanks hold back.
For
the,
now.
Yes, the generosity of your fascist partners needs to be recognized before it's too late for us to let these offers go.
We accept. Like, you've helped us out so much. You're the best friend of the show we've ever had, Commander
very,
Gorka.
Very nice.
Hail
to
Gorka,
hear this
hail victory.
Yeah.
Hail victory, hail Gorka! I believe that I will use the bathroom now.
Doctor, while you're here, very quickly, what does it mean when you have to use the restroom 6 times a day? Is that something I should get checked out?
It does that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to... That's actually a question for my weekend medical radio show that I do. It's a call-in doctor with Dr. Gorka. It's called House Calls with Dr. Gorka. Anyway, going back up to the chopper to use the bathroom, I might have to empty the loo on the way out.
Bye.
Bye. I love you all. And remember, my rope ladder is always extended to you, Mr. Chopper.
What a great guy.
Have fun storming the castle.
Love that, Gorka.
He's such a good guy. Such a good friend to the show.
He's the best. Second best friend to the show, though, James Adomian. Thanks so much for coming again,
thank you,
man.
James.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Gorka. That's why.
All right, guys. Till next time.
See ya.
Or last time. Till last time.
Bye. Last time. Cheers, everybody.
Bye-bye.